Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne,
and it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Guess what, Ellie?
What?
Guess who's back?
Oh,
back
yeah.
Again. It's Simon London.
Yeah, I think you mean Simon London! Still the best name of anyone we've ever had on the podcast. Well done.
Thank you very much. And people say that to me now. I heard your podcast, Simon London. It's not my podcast, it's the Scummy Mums. Yeah, I heard it, Simon London.
Because let's be honest, we had you on this podcast before, Simon, and we made you Simon London. We changed your life.
We did.
We?
I mean, you did. Yes.
We all did.
You made, yes.
It was a group effort.
I mean, like, quick recap. So I was looking, because I went to find that picture of myself lying on the grass with the Scummy Mummies t-shirt, so I could post it and let people know I was doing it again. 2018, I was fairly well known, I like to think, in media circles. But then, after talking to you and having a couple of drinks and sort of talking about adoption and talking a little bit about work and one thing and another, it just went a bit sort of, I think the phrase is gangbusters, Helen.
Hey, hey, look at you being all young.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, correct. Gangbusters. Yes. Off you went.
Very 2010. Well done.
Yes, well, two people contacted me from adoption charities, not to try and adopt me again. I'm already adopted. That would be madness. And then I spoke at a big adoption conference, and then lots of other people asked me to sort of do podcasts and had listened to your podcast because it's in my profile, on my Twitter profile. It's sort of kind of.
I don't think we agreed to that. Approve that usage, right?
There should have been some kind of percentage negotiated.
Get Nick on the phone.
That's bloody awesome! And so, how was the reaction to your first big kind of conference?
It was brilliant, actually. Yeah. It was really good. And I sort of, it's not something. Not that I don't talk about being a doctor, but I've never really spoken about it. Nobody's ever really asked me on a platform where loads of people will hear it. I've kind of just sort of been asked in a pub or at a party or something.
Adoption? What's all that about?
Yes.
Simon London?
Yeah. So that was really, really strange. And I kind of suddenly have got used to talking about it. Not that I never ever wanted to talk about it, as I say. But yeah. So it kind of was like, yes.
Do you want to just do like a quick synopsis? So you were adopted by two amazing people when you were how old?
Yes. So I was 8 years old. And I was adopted by white parents. I am black, if you haven't seen a picture of me. And I, that was when I was 8. And here I am.
Yeah. I know, it's great. And I loved all your amazing stories about like going to boarding school. And I loved when you talked about the fight scene. Didn't you like smash a jug on someone's head?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think these were the stories people wanted,
yes,
obviously.
Definitely. Definitely.
So he wasn't like, and I got, you know, adopted by two lovely white
yes.
people.
And we lived happily
lovely.
Ever after.
It was so yeah. nice. Yeah. We had lace, we had cordial. It was lovely. And roast on a Sunday.
Lace and cordial. That's what Helen's definition of posh is. If you have lace and cordial. Oh, imagine
I
that.
I think it was like doilies and nice drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Australians think the royals live like. A pint of roses and a doily every Sunday. That's posh, that is. Lovely
more
stuff.
Cordial, Mum.
And have your kids listened to the podcast?
Just the one. Yes, he has. Sort of a bit. you know, I kind of, you know, he's a teenage boy. Well, not teenager anymore. He'll be 21 next month.
And he's not interested in your adoption or any of that.
Not really. No. I think that's always been his normality, hasn't it? Yeah. So sort of there's nothing. I think we spoke about this last time, that for kids, because people always go, that must have been really weird for you. But as a kid, you literally just get up and do whatever you're told to. Mm. Like, there'll be a whole load of kids who now have gone through lockdown, and they will tell their kids and grandparents, grandchildren, you know, and then we just all sort of couldn't go anywhere, and we all wore masks, and we weren't allowed to the park and everything.
And their children won't give a shit. Yeah. The same way when I say to my son, you don't understand, in the 1980s, we lived under the perpetual threat of nuclear holocaust. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, we all thought we were going to die in a mushroom cloud. I don't know what you're talking about, mum, you're talking shit. Like, the government issuing booklets for how to build your own air raid shelter. Oh, you mad old bin. Shut up. Like, it's just going to be that.
It's so true, they do not believe that. Do they? They don't really believe it. And every so often, Elliot will say to me, so what was it like? And I was like, well, he didn't really think about it that much. And in fact, kind of the only time he did is when Frankie Goes to Hollywood did Two Tribes and...
Oh, speak for yourself, though. But I thought about it all the time.
No.
Partly because my dad was a stand-up comedian.
Right.
And very into the C&D movement.
Yeah.
So, like, you know how these days, modern days, Saturday, take your kids to the cinema, maybe, or perhaps bowling.
Yes.
Or something like that, or a birthday party. We used to go to Greenham Common. And that's what we did on our weekends in the 80s. Go and see women chaining themselves to railings. That was nice. Or we'd go and watch my dad do a gig where he'd shout about Thatcher and how the world was going to implode in a mushroom cloud. And then the funny thing was, you wouldn't believe it, I started having nightmares. Unbelievable! Who would have predicted it? What a sensitive child I was. I didn't really understand it because I was very young, and I thought the nuclear bomb was like a cannonball, like I'd seen in films about pirates.
Yes.
So I thought it was going to come through the roof of our house in Nunhead and land on my bunk bed, and that would destroy us. But then, of course, I realised the truth was actually much, much worse. It would be a longer-term radiation poisoning that killed entire nations in a very painful, drawn-out way. So, yeah, as I say, I had a few issues.
Do we call the bit where you suddenly realised it wasn't going to be a cannonball, then you went into phase two of trauma?
Yeah, but then I read When the Wind Blows, and then I was like, oh, no.
No, your face just melts off. It's lovely. Yes, yeah, it's a nice thing.
Really? And I don't think I ever really thought about it.
Mm.
Did you?
No, because we didn't have bombs in Australia. So it was fine.
Paradise Island nation, basically.
Yes. We just, you know, it's just warm weather and racism. It's lovely.
Yeah.
My favourite.
I wasn't aware of it. And so until you told me about this sort of thing. We had, obviously, in the 80s, it was about AIDS and having, like, the Grim Reaper and all that sort of stuff. That was the scaremongering. And then there was, we were more concentrated on, like, skin cancer and, like, not going out in the sun.
Do you think parenting styles have changed a lot as well since the old time? Have you been conscious of changing your parenting style?
Yes. Definitely. I think... cheating on both of you two and listening to another podcast, one by Adam Buxton.
Oh, who's that guy? Never heard of her.
He talks about this thing of, as a parent, you want to curate stuff for your kid. I like this, therefore you should like it.
Yeah.
And just how he was well aware of his father doing it to him, and he's aware of himself doing it to his kid, and knows that it's not a good thing, and that trying not to do it and trying not to be offended when they don't like what you like and things like that. But I think because that sort of the gap in technology and stuff moving on so quickly, that as parents, we can't keep up enough to try and curate what our kids are into. You would never go up to your kid and go, oh, you're doing TikTok all wrong. Let me show you. Oh, you like TikTok? I'll tell you who's good on TikTok. You can't do that, can you? So the things that they tend to be into, and I know that I've just talked about social media platforms there, but I think it's much wider than that we don't, you don't say, oh, there's a book that you would like, because A, they don't really read, but B, there's some more Kindle-y stuff and things like that. I don't know.
Or worse, you think there's a book they might like, and you start reading it, say The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and you go, oh my God, this is an awful piece of religious propaganda. Like, I knew it was a metaphor, yes. I knew the thing, but you're reading it going, oh no, this is terrible, I'm indoctrinating you. And he's like, no, I like it, keep going, when's The Lion coming back? And you're like, oh, yeah, no.
I'm glad that you knew that was propaganda. I read it. I remember reading The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and going, C.S. Lewis has just copied the Bible. I could do that. I could have written that if I, like, halfway through I'd gone, oh, God, what am I going to do now?
Oh.
Kill Aslan and bring him back to life, or like they did with Jesus.
Yeah. But is it always a bad idea to want to or try? Because sometimes they like the things. Like, it's taken me 10 years, but my big son is finally, he quite likes cooking. And also I had to invest heavily in a new kitchen. I think he likes the gadget. Yeah. It cost me 10 years and tens of thousands of pounds.
But
finally he'll make a fucking spaghetti bolognese with me.
Very good.
Well, that's another really good question, because I wonder whether giving them a life skill, there's a slight difference from saying, oh, you will like what I will like, because they're so different. I mean, you've got two kids.
Yes.
And you raise them, they breathe the same air, listen to the same music, watch the same things as each other, eat the same food. But I bet they're really, really different.
Oh, totally, yeah. One really likes video games and football. The other one is currently identifying as Spider-Man and really has no interest in anything else at all.
So the idea that you would say to both of them, now come here, here's a book that I really enjoyed, you both like it now. When I think about it, it's sort of absurd. I got to a point where I realised that it's not insulting if he doesn't like the things that...
He doesn't smart as much. It
precisely.
Yeah.
I think I could see...
It's not about you, Simon.
Yes.
Look at him grow up, Ellie. Look at him progress as a parent. It's amazing to see you grow.
No more Peter Pan. Another quite awful book, by the way. But that's another story for another time.
It's different times. Different values.
Yeah, different times, yeah.
How do you feel about all that, Thorne? Do you try and indoctrinate your children, you know, culturally?
For me, music is such a big thing. And I grew up... Because my dad was a vicar, so we grew up in church, we were in choirs, and my children are great singers. And so I obviously want them to sing all of the time, which we do, and we go to lots of musicals and things like that. But it is funny when I go, oh, Matilda, I really think that you should, you know, do singing, you know, for GCSEs. And she's like, I'm not doing it because that's what you want me to do. And I think I've gone quite heavy-handed while she's like that. And then... But then, you know, I think that's a way of them asserting their independence, and they know that I really like that sort of thing.
What about then the area though of politics? Because this has been, I know you're quite into your politics, yes. Simon, as everyone who follows you on Twitter will attest. But that's been a contentious issue in this house, because I was raised as a socialist. I was raised to believe you should share stuff with people and not be a cunt. I mean, controversial thoughts.
Why doesn't the Labour Party have that instead? Share stuff with people and don't be a cunt.
Remind us again why your agency, they said no to your agency doing the slogans on the posters.
just unbelievable. But yeah, so all of that. So, and then I do want to share those beliefs with mine, because I think they're values, actually. I don't think they're just beliefs. I do think the world would be a better place if we were all raised to think that it's not just about the individual, we're part of a bigger thing, and we should, if, you know, if we have more than other people, we should share it with other people and all those. You know, I'm a great person, that's what I'm saying. I want everyone else to be as good, including my children.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And the listeners, from the way you're indoctrinating them.
That's right. It's all going in, Simon.
Little icons.
I'll put some binaural beats under this and really reprogram the nation. But I've been accused...
By your husband?
By the other parental figure in this household of trying to indoctrinate my children. And I know what he means, and I think that's a fair point and maybe true, but I also think, is that so bad?
Is that any different to what any other parent is doing? Is it, because I doubt that the Tory parents are going, oh, actually, well, I mean, suppose... let's talk about Jeremy Corbyn.
But the difference is, I suppose, for example, with religion, with the kids, I tend to say, you have to make your own mind up. So when they ask me about God and stuff, which they do, I say, well, I don't believe in it, but it's up to you. You work it out for yourself.
I like the way that you say it. Well, I don't believe in it.
Well, I think.
But do you do it in that tone of voice?
Yeah. So is it any different from that? I don't know. Should I be saying to them, well, look, you know, yeah, here's what I believe, but you've got to make your own mind up. But I don't know, maybe I'm doing it all wrong.
It's a really difficult, that's not true. I've been a bit like you. I've just gone, listen, I know some, I have some friends who are conservative, not very many.
Some of my best friends are conservatives. I bet you love it when people say that about you.
I have some friends who are conservative and they're nice people and yada, yada, yada. You don't talk politics with them.
Right.
But what is very difficult...
Agreed.
What is very difficult was Elliot once saying to me, what's the difference between being Labour or being Conservative? And you literally find yourself rubbing your hands as you're like, finally asked me something and boy, am I going to give it to you. And I was sort of a bit... at the end of what can only be described as a four-hour diatribe.
Karl Marx was involved.
That's right.
There's
got
pie charts. Yeah. There's maps of the Soviet Union.
And he'd got through a couple of boxes of tissues crying. I said, but hey, it's up to you. You know, you believe, you know, you've got to find out these things for yourself. That's just one opinion. I've thought to myself, I'd better say something at the end of this that doesn't go... follow me and do what I'm into.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult, isn't it? Because they're the values of your house.
Yeah.
It's not just your own personal values. You're sort of saying to your kids all the time, you've got to share this, or if you wash up, you've got to do this, or put your money aside and invest in doing this, or save up and do that. Mm. So a lot of what you're talking about seem to be sort of good values. And then when you see something happen where the values are bad, or you hear of something happening and it's bad, it tends to be against your values, which tend to be slightly more left-leaning. So it's really difficult or really strange when you hear of something that seems quite nasty and somebody goes, well, those are my values. You know, I think this is a good thing. It's a very difficult thing to try and connect that. And also, you wouldn't want your kids to have the values that you didn't share.
Mm. Yeah, if someone says, I think we should put people on a plane to Rwanda who've already suffered huge and humane tragedy, I'm just going to struggle to agree with
completely.
You.
Completely. It's just a weird one, you know.
Can we talk about what pushed you to the edge, Simon, in recent times with the Twitter and with the politics?
With the Twitter and with the politics, there's been sort of this drip thing with our late Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. You know my website, Kid Rated, that I set up, which is kids reviewing family days out and attractions in London and around London for other families to use. It's a TripAdvisor by kids that will be useful for other families. When I set that up, somebody said, you should go to the mayor's office and they would definitely give you a grant for this. You know, it's promoting London, it's family friendly, it's educational. And trying to get to see that man...
BJ.
Yes, when he was mayor, or trying to get... You'd get so far and it would keep on getting knocked back. And we knew there was money there, myself and my co-founder, and we couldn't get to it. And then sort of 2016, I found out that the money that I might have had, he'd given to that Jennifer Akuri woman for things, or we don't know for certain, because there hasn't been an inquiry yet. I've always been slightly opposed to him, but those fucking parties, just on the back as well, let's remember, of him redecorating his flat, which I couldn't give a shit about.
Yeah.
But then we found out that he said he was paying for it himself, and then it was somebody else had paid for it, and then when we saw the text messages that would have said, not only did he know who was paying for it, but was saying, thanks for doing this, and we should have a chat about that thing you want me to do. Mm. And the standards committee said, oh, if only we'd had those texts earlier, I tell you now, he'd be in real trouble. And I was like going...
but he can still be in trouble!
That doesn't work, does it?
Oh, the window's closed.
Helen murdered Ellie, but only we'd known that earlier. We've let her go now.
All these fingerprints and DNA, gosh, I wish we'd seen those 5 years ago. Oh,
completely.
Shame.
So they're sort of saying, but we can't, at that point, we can't punish him. I was going, he stood up and said that he didn't know who paid for it in the Houses of Parliament. Everyone's sort of forgotten that, but he just told a massive lie. So I was angry about Kid Rated, slightly pissed off about the flat, pretty angry about the flat, actually. Then when my mum died last year and we were going to have the funeral, my mum and dad had got a couple of fields down in Dorset and a really big garden. And my dad said, oh, you know, we're not allowed people back and we can't have too many people at the funeral and everything else and blah, blah, blah. So I said, sorry about this. Fuck it, we've got a massive garden. Why don't we just put some chairs and little tables and dot them around? And bless him, my dad said, because there are rules and we don't think we're better than anybody else and that would be terrible and we're going to stick to the rules and that's how it is. And I was like, yeah, no, you're right. And because of that, I think that he didn't get proper closure in a way. The funeral wasn't right. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like any funeral we'd sort of been to before.
So and how can I ask, because I didn't...
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, what was the funeral like? When you're talking about, were you allowed to have a service and stuff, or was it on Zoom?
We had, I think it was about 30 people in a little village church. We were allowed to Zoom it, which was a nightmare. I can't remember, who'd watch that? Anyway, you're allowed to Zoom it, and then... But we weren't allowed anybody back to the house. And because they had this huge garden and everything, we could have had drinks and, you know, and the real community wanted to come back. Yeah.
And sharing stories. And I think that is the most beautiful thing about funerals is that, you know, you keep that person alive in a sense because you share all those stories. And it's very rare you get the chance to have all those people who meant so much to that person.
Precisely.
Together. And it is that kind of... Not that it gives you closure, but you want to celebrate all the best bits of that person.
Definitely, and a lot of people who had travelled quite a long way to sort of pay their respects were just going to have to get in their cars and go. And of course, them being her peers, she died at age 86. These are not young people. These are not young people who have travelled that far. We came out of the church and, bless the villagers, had lined the streets down to the hearse and everything else.
Aww.
And my dad was really cut up. And I thought, again... I don't want that to be the last thing. He now needs a drink and a laugh with friends and everything else. So I was I was really upset and disappointed, sort of for myself, but more for my dad, I think. And I thought, but that's how it is. We're in lockdown, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Then I saw the picture of him in the garden. And then he tried to tell us that it hadn't happened. And then people came out and just were sort of going... when people came out and sort of said, you know, what's the big deal? And I kind of just could hear my dad going, well, we're not going to break the rules. You know, we don't think we're better than anybody else. And I was sort of going, well, you know, this seems ridiculous, but no, you're right. We're going to do that. And I swear to God, the night that I heard, I could have driven up to Downing Street with a tin of paint and just leapt over the barrier and chucked it all over the front door. I really felt like that. I've never had that burning desire to kind of jump in the car, do something mental, and then hang all the consequences and, you know, let's see what happened. And then it just kept on going on, didn't it? It just was, there was another one and there was another one and then they kept on saying that they hadn't done it and it just couldn't end. And I did this thing, people will know that sometimes I just blow up on Twitter, and I thought, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to do the complete opposite. I wrote something really angry and horrible, and I said, instead wrote, couldn't say goodbye to my mum. If anybody else felt like in that position, that just post a picture here so we can all see the people that we couldn't say goodbye to. And there's something ridiculous, like sort of 10,000 people posted pictures, and it was a real moment. And then I took that down and showed my dad, who like completely was cracked up by it and everything else. But... yeah, and it's the closest I think I've ever felt to being radicalised and really, really seething. And when people keep on going, oh, we're ambushed by a cake, or all those people who sort of around him is going, you know, he's doing a good job and getting the calls right. It just makes me really, really angry. That's kind of how you sleepwalk into... well, just people can do anything, can't they? You know, and I think that is the true definition of gaslighting, where somebody goes, look, it didn't really happen. That didn't... what you think happened didn't really happen. And then we kept on finding, but it did. It did happen. Look at all this evidence. And I want somebody to be punished. And what I wanted more than anything else is what happened. I wanted everybody to resign. I wanted it to be humiliating, and I wanted it to be hurtful and disgusting, and I wanted him... to really, really suffer. And then one of my mates said to me, he's a man without shame. Mm. Sorry to piss on your fireworks.
Yeah.
He doesn't, none of this matters. He doesn't care. That's what he is. And that's really weird, isn't it? He is a man without shame.
Mm. He's not capable of.
Yes.
This is, I mean, this is the problem with narcissists, which is a word I know gets thrown around a lot. But, and I do think, yeah, they lack empathy. Like he doesn't, I don't think he will feel shame because he doesn't really care what anybody else thinks, because we're all just, that's how narcissists work, isn't it? We're all just characters in the movie of the narcissist's yes. life. So we're not really three-dimensional humans.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
it doesn't touch the sides. It doesn't,
and it's a different sort of, you know, I'm never going to sort of put my hand up and say, like, I'm a paragon of virtue or anything else, and, you know, I can be, God knows I can be arrogant, I can be thoughtless, and I can be, but one of the things that I do really care about, I'm a people pleaser, and I like people, and I want to have friends, and I like having, you know, it would kill me. Mm. It kills me when I know one person doesn't.
I'm the same. It's like, people are allowed to hate you. I was like, yeah, but it hurts.
Yeah, and I just find that bizarre, that kind of, he can sit there and just lie and just, but yeah, no, as I say, the tragedy was, I was hoping that his fall from grace would scar him some way, but it won't. It will scar, sadly, other people, like his family and possibly his kids, and
yeah,
you know, like his behavior sort of touch on other people in a really sort of I think a terrible way, a really sort of cancerous way, I think. And it's, in some ways, it's them that I feel sorry for, not his dad. But no. the rest of the family. Yeah.
How's your dad doing now?
Okay, I mean, look, this was the first time that I'm not familiar with death at all in any sort of way. I thought I was, because my partners lost both her parents, but I did say to her at the point, I feel really bad. I don't think I was as, I didn't realise how awful it is, and I wish I'd been kind of better and sort of more sympathetic in that way, and I didn't realise. I think my dad is sort of, you know, he's 87, so he's not making long-term plans, as it were.
Yeah.
But he's sort of, you know, he's getting on with life and doing his thing, and he wasn't so upset or angry by it as I was.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably in a better place, in a way.
So maybe you didn't process it either with the funeral thing, do you think, or...?
I don't know. I mean, again, in the way that you two do so well, you've got me to talk about something that I've not really spoken about. I've kind of spoken about it in 280 characters on Twitter, yeah. But I've not, you know, every time I see you two, I kind of write on my to-do list, get therapist.
Here for free. What are you talking about? I don't need a bloody therapist. Just come and do this every 3 years.
Death is weird. It's a weird thing to have someone like that, like your mother or anybody close in your life, and to contemplate a day that they're not going to be at the end of the phone, that you can't just go and you get sideswiped going, oh, I just got to tell them that thing.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to kind of. The older my parents get, mine are 80 and 86. I go, no, I need to call them. Like, when was the last time I told them I love them? Like, as the years get kind of shorter in a way.
Yeah.
I'm just so conscious of that. So it's a weird, but I think lockdown did something to relationships in a way. I think in terms of that intensity, because you couldn't see them, suddenly you took away the biscuit. You took away, you know, and you went, oh, but now I really want that biscuit. It's a terrible analogy. But yeah, that's my biscuit theory.
You're saying Simon's dead mother is a biscuit. I don't know if that's what she wanted.
You, right.
Like one from Fortnum's.
Oh, okay, phew. Yeah. I was gonna say,
if
you're saying she's a hobnob or a digestive, I should get up now, demand another beer from Ellie and leave.
An orange club with chocolate.
Yes, good. Yeah. Good.
Something that's individually wrapped. Yes, yeah. Good.
Jaffa cake. No, wait, that's a cake. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Are you so calling messy. My mother a cake?
No.
My dead mother a cake.
So sorry.
This is
so
awful.
Sorry. Oh, God.
I'm underlining get therapist.
and now everyone's sort of reuniting again, and it's in, it is a lovely thing that we're kind of in this weird, you know, like when people like go back in time and then time is altered and then we're in this sort of new reality that kind of looks like.
Yes.
What,
oh my God, that's such a brilliant analogy. That is such a brilliant analogy.
Well, not the biscuit thing.
No. No, delete future Ellie in your alternative reality.
But yes, you're right, because I'll be talking to somebody and say, oh, I haven't seen them for a couple of years, but I keep on forgetting about the lockdown years when we were in the DeLorean travelling back.
Yes, yes, of course.
So actually it's been about 5 years since I've seen some people.
But Boris Johnson's Biff, and Biff, he fucked it up, and then they made it all weird, and then the mum gets big boobs.
He's totally Biff.
Yeah, he's Biff.
He's Biff, just like, I thought Donald Trump was Biff, but they are both Biff.
Yeah.
Wait, which one of us has to kiss our mum? Hang on.
No, nobody has to kiss their mum. Oh. Ellie.
How could it happen? I know, but only by accident.
Yes, come on.
That's another reason Star Wars isn't all that. He kisses his sister. It's fucking weird.
What is it anyway, with incest and the Americans?
Yeah, how did you bring that in?
It's a thread we don't need.
Oh, dear.
Incest, though, and Elon Musk's dad.
What?
That sounds like a fever dream. What are you talking about? First of all, I thought it was Elon Musk. Is it not Elon Musk?
Oh, yeah. Why am I calling him Elon? Because I'm calling you Ellie. Have you heard about Elon Musk?
No way!
Elon Musk's father, who I think is something called Eric or Eddie or something, another name beginning with E, has had his second child.
Right.
With his 24-year-old stepdaughter.
Oh!
Who he's raised since the age of 4.
This is all Woody Allen.
Oh. And you remember when everybody was complaining about Rishi Sunak's wife, and the Tories were coming out and going, what she did was perfectly legal. What Elon Musk has done and what Woody Allen did was perfectly illegal. But you don't do it if you're a nice person, do you?
No, that's right.
It's like you could shit on your husband's pillow. You might even think about it. You don't do it. Right. You don't do it.
No. No. Oh, my God. This has taken a turn.
Right, we've done death and incest. What's next?
All right.
Teenagers.
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk to Simon about, because you've had these really big milestones since we've seen you.
Yes.
Obviously, you've become, you know, the face of adoption. an angry face on Twitter. But your son has now left the home, gone on to university, become, by all accounts, an excellent human being and musician. But what's that like? What's it like when you've become an official empty nester?
I know, and it happens so quickly.
Yeah.
1 minute they're kind of 15, and you're praying for the moment that they can do sleepovers when they're tiny.
Yeah.
We just want to sleep.
Yeah. Someone else do the morning. Yeah.
And they do a sleepover, and then they come back, like, somebody hands you back a damaged child.
Yeah,
like,
they're really...
They didn't sleep all night, and he will yell at you and burst into tears.
It's like day 4 at the festival. Yeah. Two and eight.
Smelling of fags. Yeah. Run out of ecstasy.
Broken.
So you're kind of thinking, when they can do a sleepover and they're not handed back all weird and odd, that would be brilliant. And then that sort of happens around about 14, 15.
Yeah.
And then they don't really want to spend time with you, which is sort of weird. And then that gets even faster, and they go through sort of a meltdown, as you do when they're doing GCSEs/A-levels. Whatever, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And I mean, we were lucky because lockdown happened. How many people say that? And he was going to go on a gap year, and instead he just made this album with his mate in his bedroom, kind of them sharing files, and it just went massive. And he suddenly became a little music producer, which has been brilliant. And he's, you know, he's doing really well. He's going off to play and gigging all around London and all the rest of it. But then he went up to Trent to do music production, and just the way we've managed to get over it is by Airbnb-ing his room at the top of the house.
Simon. Yeah, amazing. Excellent.
It's just get a puppy. What are you doing?
Well, I'm not allowed a puppy. I want a Jack Russell, and I'm not allowed one. And I'm not going to use this to publicise or shout about not being able to have a Jack Russell, but if I could have a Jack Russell, that would be brilliant. And who knows, it might make me a better person.
What would you have to give up, though? What would you give up to get a dog?
Buster the cat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you've got your issues with the cat, or the cat's got issues with you.
Yeah,
I don't know
which sprays around the house.
Oh, vile! Oh, is that an older cat thing?
No. He's a puppy.
He's a bastard.
He's
cat,
a bastard, but he's like a dog. He can throw things for him, and he brings them back, and he's like,
my god, that's awesome!
Yeah. So he's a cat. He's a dog, and he has to be near you. You know how dogs? Somebody said the dog is the only animal that loves you more than itself. And it will just sit next to you and it doesn't know why and things like that.
Yeah.
He's like that, so it's really difficult. So he sprays anyway, but if we were to get a puppy, he'd probably just drown in his own urine.
Shame.
Yeah. So I can't have a dog.
So that's your top tip for empty nesting. Just rent out your child.
No, so
just make a profit off their absence. Just invite strangers in to replace the hole in your life that they've left.
It is weird. And just before they leave, you're kind of on their case all the time, like, pick that up, tidy that, do your own washing, earn some money, do this, don't come in, this isn't a hotel, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they go away, and when they come back on the holidays, you literally, it's like the prodigal son, you'll remember that, with the dad with the vicar, you are literally going, sometimes I just go to the fridge and I open it and it goes, ah, and I go, what's all this food? Elliot's coming back at the weekend.
Oh my god, let me lay down my coats. No, please step on my head.
So my first thing is, I can't believe you get all this food for him. And then it's like, oh, tell me when you're at the station, I'll come and pick you up.
You become the dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't need a Jack Russell. No wonder Mrs. Wendy you get one. She'll be fucking got one.
And then I'm like, do you want to play some PlayStation? I learned how to play Call of Duty whilst you've been at university. And
it's
like,
a cap on backwards when you're saying that.
Yes.
I love Eminem.
Yeah, I'm on my skateboard going, hey, we could just go to the park skateboarding.
I got some loom bands. Do you want to do some drugs later?
I've got some WKTs. They're in the fridge. Oh my god.
So yes, so I think this happens a lot as well, talking to people the right age. So there's sort of, you're baffled and befuddled and bewildered that there's kind of all this space, and you spend more time with, Joe and I spend more time with each other. And in lockdown, we sort of started walking at lunchtime and things, just to get out the house a bit and stuff. And I think we were both afraid, well, this is it. Who's going to kill the other one first?
What, Ellie, quote the fantastic joke from back in the olden days.
This comedian Paul Collins used to do this brilliant joke where he used to say, yes, me and my wife, you know, we're just waiting until one of us dies and the other one wins. It was a brilliant joke.
Absolutely.
I wish I thought.
Yeah,
but it's been fine. And then obviously we just sort of fawn over him when he comes home and sort of say stuff. Oh, you got the train down all by yourself. You're so clever. What can we do for you? And things like that.
Yeah.
Is it true? A lot of people say to us, sort of parents of teens or older kids rather, say that you have this teenage thing where they sort of go away from you, but then they come back, much like a sort of boomerang.
Say it properly so that Helen and some boomerang.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And all of the Australian listeners, you've done a very good job.
Yes, there is. I don't know who said it, but I'm probably going to misquote it. But I think it's like when I was a child, I thought my dad was a hero. When I was a teenager, I couldn't believe how stupid he was. And now I'm in my 20s. I can't believe how much he's learned. So I do think there is that sort of thing. You do kind of go through that sort of, I'm doing this with my finger like I'm making a heartbeat or an oscillating curve.
Yeah. I thought it was a boomerang.
It's a roller coaster. Is it a roller coaster? Yeah. I think that towards the end of their teens, it's much more pronounced that they just want to get away from you. And I think that's something evolution plays a part, that if we're all in the same village, then we'd all start being like Elon Musk's dad. So there is something in teenagers that say, get out of here.
Yeah.
And there's something in us which is like, oh, we just want you to get away from us and go.
Yeah.
But then when they've left the village and found somebody in another village to procreate with, we're like, so nice to see you and you're
come back.
Come back. Yes.
Bring your nice biscuits.
Completely.
Yeah. Not your hobnobs. Yes. But Ellie and I have both got sons studying high school.
Right.
And they're going to the same high school actually in September. And it just feels like the biggest step. Like on Thursday, in 2 days' time, it'll be the last day that I have a child at primary school. I'll be a fucking man. Yes, these sort of milestones creep up so.
So wait, there, you're going to be a mess, not sort of punching the air. You emotionally, what's the?
It's the letting go of the young times, like, you know, right. Like he's, you know, he's getting bigger. He's starting to really fucking stink, like his shoes stink. He said, I think I smell, Mum. And, like, we both sniffed under his arms and we both went, whoa. Like, he's like, oh, I need to use deodorant. And he was so excited. He told the neighbours, he's like, I used deodorant today.
Yeah. Sort of it's the male equivalent of getting our first bra.
Yes, exactly. It must be.
And what, like, deodorant did you get him? Did you go Lynx? Did you go Shaw?
Just used M'Lady Mitchum.
Oh, why not? It's a modern world.
Four potential promotional bits there.
Hashtag it. I feel because being a single mum, I mean, obviously he's got a dad, but, you know, I'm going to bring him up, you know.
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
Anyway, I there's only me in the house who's going to bring him up and negotiate and have those chats and all that sort of stuff. So I'm feeling kind of a bit bewildered by all the things.
Teenage boys stink.
Yeah.
They stink. And one of the things I said to Elliot when he became a teenager is, listen, I know it's going to be a pain in the ass, but this is one of the best bits of advice I can give you. Talk about advice earlier on. I said, have a shower every morning. I said, teenagers smell, and you'll get to class one day and you will smell another teenager and everyone in the class will, and you'll go, who is that? And if you find out that it's you, you'll be mortified. But you won't get this until you smell that person. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. He went to school, came back and was like, oh, I'm definitely going to have a shower in the morning.
Yeah. So
there's somebody in the class who's... And it's just poor kid's body working overtime as going through puberty. Just
expelling smells. Yeah.
And then he was really... It meant that he could use deodorant. It meant that he could use other things. And he was very, very aware that of his own smell and of our own smells. He was really, really good. He's a kid who will have a shower in the morning, a shower in the evening if he's going out.
Yeah.
He's aware of people smelling.
Yes.
If there's one thing I did drum into him, actually,
he learned. He listened.
He listened to something I said. I said, first it's school, then there's the person in the office who smells and nobody can say anything. You remember that person in the office?
Oh.
Yes, and nobody could say...
With the guy who cooks fish pies in the microwave.
Oh. Oh, no.
Be gentle on him, he's just trying to expand his diet. And there's nothing wrong with my fish pies. So you remember the person in the office who smiled. You remember that person. You've got on a tube or a bus and you've gone... And somebody stepped in and everybody smelled them. And I think it's one of the most antisocial things ever, isn't it? Mm. Smelling is so antisocial. And if you can drum it into your teenager...
Yeah.
Look, you're going to smell. It will happen.
Yeah.
But you can combat it with all these things I've bought you that you can spray on yourself and just having a wash in the morning and the evening.
Marvellous.
And the great thing about getting a kid to have a shower in the morning is, despite their best efforts, it wakes them up.
Yeah.
So it's a really good thing.
Excellent. That is an actual practical. And once again, we've accidentally done some actual useful advice on the podcast.
I won't hear of it, Ellie. I won't. I'm going back to biscuit analogies and racism. Much better.
Can we do it nonsense in that order, though? So I get a biscuit before you're nasty.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, before we go, we have to talk about Kid Rated. You did it earlier. Tell us about your...
So, Kid Rated, my website, it's kind of now my side hustle. It is my classic car. Its genesis came about because I kept on making poor old Elliot review bits and pieces when we went on holiday, and then I would put them on a website and send the link to his grandparents, and so they would get to see what he was up to and what he was doing. And then we suddenly... We went on a holiday where the hotel had been reviewed by him the year before, and all these kids were like, oh, I saw this. And all the parents were like, well, we came to the hotel because we saw your kids' review.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
So that was the idea behind it, that kids would do the reviews and it would be used by other families. Not by other kids, but other families could go on the website and go, oh, where are places we could go in and around London and everything else? Yeah, it's out there. Tell your friends, tell your family. If you're visiting London or you live in London, it should be a good resource for you.
Well, look, it is time. Have we plugged Kid Rated enough?
Yes,
Kid Rated
we have.
Kidrated.com. Well, I don't care, Simon. You do your own bloody advert. I'm not getting paid for this.
I love the idea.
Paid
dot
for your
what?
Uber.
Dot what are
dot
you?
What? Dot biz. Dot IR.
Dot net. Dot.
Dot net. Dot net.
Dot. Kidrated. Dot Simon. Dot London.
Yeah. Kidrated. Dot cotton.
Dot. Scummy Mummy Confessions.
My Scummy Mummy confession is that Ellie accidentally read my WhatsApps, but not really.
We were talking about... So I had reason to look at your phone. I can't remember what it was. I had reason... We were in the van.
Yes.
I thought you were looking at your calendar or something. We were talking about a date and I glanced at your phone.
Yeah.
And I saw your WhatsApp page and it said, like, you know, your child's name or whatever and, you know, your friend's name and my name. And then it said, Helen, do you want to pick up the story from here?
So in the last couple of years, I've been dating several different men. And I, instead, because my children are quite nosy.
Yes.
And they know my password on my phone, which is an error. I know it's an error. But so instead of having, like, Fernando and, you know, Giuseppe and all this stuff, I'll just write plumber or builder so the kids don't go into...
Are you only dating people who appear in porn films?
Or ABBA songs. That's the rules.
It's Giuseppe, the plumber. It's Fernando, the builder.
Architect. Anyway, so... I've got a new one, a lovely new one, and I was like, oh, what do I call him? I was like, I just couldn't think. I was like, oh, I'll just call him work manager. And Ellie was like bent over double going, work manager?
I was like, that's not a job. That's not a real vocational profession. Work manager. You don't ever, when have you been at a dinner party? What do you do for a living? I'm a work manager. Oh, what's that involve? Oh, I just manage work. What are you talking about? Again, you could put vet, you could put zookeeper. It doesn't even have to be animal-based. I don't know why I said those two.
No,
chef,
no.
You could put...
Yeah, I know. I drew
surveyor.
A blank.
Surveyor.
Yeah.
Anything. Work manager.
I know.
That's
I need
the best you could come up with.
Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I met your children. They're very intelligent. They're going to look at that and go,
work manager.
Yeah, this is the... Sounds a bit like Mum's bread baker, she was saying.
Oh, hat monger. This is strange. Oh, that's very odd.
Yes.
Very strange.
So,
wall counter. What are you doing there? Don't
indeed.
Put a made up job if you're going to use an alien.
Yeah, that's the hard thing when you're effectively...
You're seeing a lot of men.
Yeah. Got a lot on. When you're putting it about a bit. A lot of organisational admin.
Yeah.
I think maybe just change the password on your phone. I think
this
might
is
be
it.
The easier
you're both
option.
Quite
yeah. You're no good at thinking up aliases.
Yeah. No, I mean,
or maybe you can kind of give them something to aim at, so you can give them things like rocket scientist or heart doctor,
professional boss man.
Yeah, stop giving them titles that you would see on a Japanese t-shirt. Work manager fun.
Oh,
oh,
my God.
Simon London, do you have a confession for us?
Yeah, well, it's... So, I'm currently working for Snapchat as a consultant, and it's absolutely brilliant. They're such a great company. Like, Snapchat have kind of got... And this is the woke bit, people. They've got diversity through its core. They've got to be 50% people from everywhere, people who make the shows, people who make the decisions. So on the first Zoom, it is really like, I know they don't advertise anymore, so this phrase really ages me, but it is like a Benetton ad when you sort of just, everybody comes up and you're like, oh my word, it's just, it's absolutely great. And the offices, although they've been empty through the pandemic and everyone's allowed to work remotely, in the offices it's the same and there's just... But of course, I am a man of a certain vintage now, and the people I'm working with are much, much, much younger. Much younger. This girl walked past me the other day, and I pointed at her dress, and I went, your dress looks like the carpet in The Shining. And she just looked at me.
Simon!
She just looked at me. No, it's really cool. So that pattern from the carpet in The Shining now is...
Oh, so you didn't mean when it was a wash with blood or anything?
No. Oh, God, you're making this worse. I hadn't thought of that one.
No, you did it.
Because she pulled the face. Anyway, but the pattern is really famous. And so there are T-shirts. A lot of people I saw through lockdown had their carpet as the thing. And it's like I was talking with Mr. Ellie earlier, who likes pop culture T-shirts. The trick, if you're doing anything pop culture, you don't want to have... Grease written on your T-shirt. You want Rydell High or something which is just a step away from what it is. So I thought she was wearing this trendy, shining dress because I know the material is absolutely everywhere and there's so many things you can get. But she is really young. And what I basically said was I named carpet. Who talks about carpet with young people in a really old film? Yeah. It's sort of kind of going, oh, you look like the duck in Charlie Chaplin's the gold strike or whatever, the gold rush.
Yes, your profile has a resemblance of Queen Victoria on the penny black, if I may say,
exactly,
madam.
That's exactly what it's... So she kind of sound, but now... You saying about the blood, that may have been why she just pulled this really weird face. So she pulled, she went, oh, thanks very much, in a way that I'd obviously really insulted her.
Yeah,
man, thanks a lot.
So I thought that, oh my God, she must think The Shining's a pub around the corner and the carpet looks all horrible in there and it's awful. But it was quite funny and we all need content these days.
Yeah.
So I tweeted it, just said, I think I'm scared. This woman, and now I don't know whether to go over and show her a picture of Shelley Duvall screaming with Jack Nicholson with an axe going, no, I meant this.
It's much better,
to make it better.
I don't know.
Anyway, a few people wrote some funny things underneath it, and kind of buoyed by this, I said, it's not weird though, and the dress looks amazing. I know, I'll go and take a picture of it. And then just all of a sudden... Just as I thought it, Helen's like, Helen is shaking her head violently.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't take a photo of a young lady's dress.
We don't follow young ladies around. No. We don't follow young ladies. I just want to check with you two.
She'll think you're an upskirter, Simon.
You don't follow young ladies around the office and take pictures of their dress, do you, to put online?
No, we don't do that, do we?
So thank you to, I don't know, roughly 30 people who said don't do that. I did think, as I took my phone off and strode in her direction, the penny did drop going, this isn't something we do, is it?
No. It's not an episode of Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
That's the name of the other lover I've got. Yes. Taskmaster.
Oh, he works hard.
Oh, he does.
Oh,
I know who he is.
Yes. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry that lady, but... Oh, God, I was going to end the confession with, I'm sorry that young lady, but it could have been worse. I didn't mean that. Let's all stop
that
talking.
That sounds like a threat.
Let's all stop talking about that.
Oh, well, there we go, team.
Thank you.
What a note to end on.
We've shared some opinions, and it's always a joy to see you.
It's always a joy. What I love is... I was really pleased to come down and do this again. And I wanted to say thank you because it changed my life. And it did in a sort of strange sort of way at this late stage in life. I entered another chapter. And that would never have happened if it hadn't been for Ellie and Helen.
Oh, Simon London!
Helen, we've accidentally changed someone's life!
But in a good way!
In a good way! Oh, what a lovely thing to say. I'm quite moved. I think I've got some COVID in my eye, Helen.
Oh, not again.
Oh, not again.
I never know what's in my eye. Had to have that operation.
Yeah. Yes, who knows what...
Yes.
What did you call him? Hatmonger.
Well, who knows
Mr.
how...
Mr. Thursday.
Office King.
Yeah.
Sorry. Prince Regent.
Scrum member.
Yeah. Oh. Business type. Well, thank you for saying so. That's who knows how your life will change after this podcast grow up. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you'll get sued by Elon Musk. We just don't know. Anything could happen.
No, yeah.
But yes, we asked you back because let's have a love in while we're here. We asked you back because, you know, we just thought you were wonderful on the first podcast.
Oh, thank you.
And also we just think you're a lovely company. We wanted to hang out with you again. It was a good excuse to make you come to South East London because God knows we're not going up north. So,
I don't like it up there, Eddie. It's not for us.
Anyway, we'll pay for Uber. Anyway, I can't really be bothered with it. I had such a lovely time. Let's not ruin it with admin, but scummymummies.com for tickets.
Exactly right. We're up and down the country and we've booked gigs, Simon London, you would not believe this, until December 2023.
Yeah. Oh my word. Thank you so much. Kidrated.com.simon.london.
Yes.
And what is your Twitter handle?
It's SlondonUK. And the same with my Instagram, Slondon UK. So S London UK.
Everybody needs to follow Simon London. Honestly, the funniest person on the internet.
Even if you hate Twitter, join Twitter and just follow Simon London. Just block everybody
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely.
Just
everything
follow
you say
is
funny.
You'll make your day better.
Oh, I often I'll just go to your Instagram just to go. Oh, Simon
will
make
me. London doing.
Yeah, just bloody marvellous.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Also, never in our lives have we ever just called you Simon, not one time.
No, I won't hear of it.
Emails. Hi, Simon London.
Yeah. We should get Simon London back on the podcast. Yeah, I love Simon London. I wonder how Simon London is today.
Let's look at Simon London's Instagram account. That is the actual conversations we have. So thank you for tolerating that as well.
Indeed. Well, I didn't know it was going on, but now...
Well, thanks again, Simon London.
Thank you.
You're a joy. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Does your wife call you Simon London?
No, though I think that's a weird one. What are your partners, not yours because you've got so many, well, you know what yours are called, in your phone? Is your husband, is it his full name?
He's just Pete, but I think I was in his as Ellie Gibson.
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? I saw it one day and I was like, fuck, how many Ellies are you like fucking married to? So went, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll change that. And then I looked at it, now it says Ellie, all caps, current wife.
You had it coming.
And there's a lesson there, isn't there, Ellie?
Yeah,
what we've learned today. So yes, anyway.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.